What I'm trying to say today is don't give up on anything you are praying for. The only problem is that you are standing in front of a soda machine that you have put money into it, and you don't know how to operate the machine. The only thing you know is kicking it and shaking it and walking away. Today, I'm showing you how to be still and know that I am still God.
Hello, Saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
So we have been studying on the 12 revelations for supernatural living. And today I want to continue in that vein. We have said that the supernatural lifestyle is a life that is lived often beyond average. Everybody say beyond average. It is a lifestyle that is often lived beyond average because God is often intervening in your life. And he's doing it in two ways. I'm trying to review. Who still remembers? When God intervenes in your life, how does he do it? He does it directly by miracles, or he does it indirectly by orchestrating circumstances that look natural, but he is in the center of it. Amen. Amen. And we understood that anytime you want to be able to live a principle in the Word of God, there are four things you need. What are they? What are the four things you need? You need revelation on that principle. Number two, what do you need? You need a role model. Revelation is an understanding of this principle, the way God wants you to understand it, not the way humans want it, the way God wants it. Secondly, you need a role model. And then thirdly, you need what? A regimen, a systematic way of applying that principle. And finally, you need a resolve. And we've been talking about the revelation on prosperity and salvation, revelation on the preciousness of souls, revelation on the promise for our services. And today I want to begin the fourth one because it ties into what we want to do this month. Turn to the person sitting next to you. When we gather to pray, it's not child play. Amen. So our focus today, and I will begin the revelation on the prayers of the saints. The revelation on the prayers of the saints. When we gather to pray, we create momentum. Can you say that together? When we gather to pray, say it like you are creating momentum. When we gather to pray, we create momentum. Never see prayer as a religious act after today. Never. That when the people of God gather to pray, it is not a religious act. In fact, the scripture says, when two or three gather and we ask God for anything, God is going to move. So we create what? Momentum. Amen. And today I want to take time to walk you through a few scriptures. And after that, with that understanding, we are going to pray. Are you ready? So I'm laying a groundwork, not just for today, but for the rest of the month. All right? We're going to pray through to September. All right. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Let's begin with the words of Jesus from the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and the first verse. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Are you there with me? Please forgive me. I still read King James. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Say that with me, everybody. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's say that again. As John also taught his disciples to pray. So the scripture says Jesus had just finished praying. The disciples are now asking him, can you teach us to pray? And Jesus answers the question. Let's look at verse 2 of Luke chapter 11. I'll read from 2 to 4. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I want you all to fasten your eyes on me. Let me ask you a question. The disciples that asked Jesus to show them how to pray were people who had been going to the synagogue every day, and they have been praying. It is possible to be praying and not praying right. Are you guys with me? So they simply said, Lord, the way we see you do this thing is different from the way we do it. So teach us to pray. Everybody say, teach us to pray. Now, if you want to write down as a colloquial phrase for today's teaching, write it down this way. Prayer is not a soda machine. That one you won't forget. Prayer is not a soda machine. Under normal circumstances, when you go to a soda machine and you get something from it, but you don't get anything from it, show us what you do. Have you ever been to the soda machine and not got anything out of it? Or put money in it and it's not coming out? When I go to the soda machine, put my money in it, and nothing comes out, what is the first thing I do? I shake it. Just to make sure that the thing is not stuck somewhere. So after you shake it and it doesn't come out, what is the next thing you do? You kick it. I've done it before. You kick the machine because you are still in the shaking mode just to make sure it comes out, right? What is the next thing you do? Talk to me. You slap the side, right? And you keep doing it. And after a while, if nothing comes out, what happens? You do all that. No. After a while, if nothing comes out, you walk away. And that is how most of us have treated prayer. Prayer is like the soda machine to us. We put our 5 minutes prayer into it, which is your money. It doesn't yield results. We shake it through fasting and prayer. Then it doesn't work. We kick it. By coming to, in the name of Jesus, we bind all them demons. Then nothing happens. And after a while, that soda is still not coming out. So we walk away. And that is how we have treated prayer. It is amazing that Jesus never lived the entirety of his life without prayer. But Christians think they can do that. And the reason is, I agree. We have put the money in the machine and there's nothing coming out. Right? Now, how many of you will go back to the same soda machine again? Let me see your hands. Anytime you see another soda machine somewhere, how do you feel about it? When you're putting the money in it, you are wondering, is this one also going to do the same thing? So prayer meeting in this place doesn't satisfy you. So prayer meeting in another church would also not satisfy you. Because you put in money and nothing came out. Today, I want us to change our mindset. Please read with me from the screen. Prayer is not a soda machine. Come on, say it like you mean it. It is not something we plug something into, and then when we don't have something come out, we walk away from it. Never, ever look at prayer that way. Young people, tell your parents, prayer is not a soda machine. The disciples who asked Jesus to show them how to pray, they knew how to pray. They've been praying in the synagogue, but then when they saw what Jesus did, they realized that they have been treating prayer like a soda machine. So they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Two principles from this text. Please write it down. Prayer must be taught, and prayer must be learned. Have you ever asked people, what does it mean to pray? So prayer means talk to God. Have you heard it before? Prayer is talking to God, but it's not just talking to God. There is something that comes with it. And I want you young people who are here to learn it, please don't go around with the mindset, oh, prayer is just talking to God. So I talk to God, and like a soda machine, something must come out. And it's not coming out, so you are thinking this thing does not work. Don't walk away from it. Stay in front of the machine, and I'll show you how it works. Are you guys with me today? Prayer must be taught, and Christians must learn how to pray. Did you hear that? The people knew how to pray, but they still asked Jesus, show us how to do it, because it's not been working for them. But then they realized it works for Jesus. So he wants them, they want Jesus to show them how to do it. The second thing we learn out of the book of Luke chapter 11, that prayer is not just about talking to God or telling God how you feel. It is a process. It is a pattern. It is a process. Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. And thirdly, Jesus lays out specifically the pattern for the prayer. He lays it out. Amen. I'm about to make a statement that is going to create trouble. But in order to correct it, I have to make it. Do you want me to make it? Do you want me to make it? Praying long and loud and the use of repetitious words does not guarantee answer. Praying long and loud and the use of repetitious words does not guarantee answer. It does not mean that you should not pray long. It does not mean that you should not pray loud. What I'm trying to show you is that if you have been told that the only way for you to have answers is to put the money in the soda machine, and if nothing comes out, you kick it, and that is how it comes out, you got it backwards. We'll keep going back to the soda machine. Are you guys with me? After today, you must love prayer. I said, after today, you must what? Love prayer. You must love it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through a series of scriptures, and you're going to read it with me, and you will find out that it is important that you don't. Volume is nice, but it is not why God answers you. Are you guys with me? I know by now those who don't like the volume are rejoicing. I also want to remind you that sleeping is possible when you're quiet. All right, go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I need you to be reading all the verses with me from the screen. We'll read two verses from there. Matthew chapter 6. And when thou prayest, Jesus is speaking, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. Where do they stand when they pray? In the synagogues, and where? On the corners of the street. So they want public appearance. They want to have public prayer meetings. Pastor, you know, I pray secretly in my room. That's why I don't come for prayer meetings. You just stay with me. And you just affirmed it. No, I did not. You just saw a scripture. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the street that they may be seen, that they may be seen. So why are they standing there? That they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward already. Look at the seventh verse. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard because of their much what? Speaking. Who is speaking here? Who is speaking here? 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings 18, we read the story of Elijah, the prophet, and the prophets of Baal. You notice that the prophets of Baal were using vain repetition. They were loud. They were cutting themselves until Elijah shows up on the scene. He does the opposite. Are you guys with me? Pastor, are you trying to tell us we shouldn't shout because we just did this morning? Yes, we did, and I did some too. But let's go on. Are you 1 Kings 18? Look at verse 24. And call ye, Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal. He said, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and then they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. Those people who are making argument, why do you have prayer meetings from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m.? You see, you just found it in the Bible. It's not true. Keep following me. We'll get there. Because today, I want us to put a balance to the things we say. Are you guys with me? From morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he is sleeping. And must be awake. Now, for the sake of time, I will not read all of it, but Elijah was bringing in how the Gentiles, the heathen prayed. He says, come on, do all the repetitions and make it loud and cry out. Maybe God is not hearing you. Now, go with me all the way down to verse 37. We're still in 1 Kings 18. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. What is the difference between Elijah's prayer and the prayer of the prophets of Baal? Do you realize that Elijah was also on top of his voice because they heard him? So what Jesus said, does it really work? That we shouldn't shout, but they are shouting. All right? Because something is important. Elijah is praying on the basis of scripture. Your loud, the long, the repetition does not guarantee the answer, but the basis on which the prayer is prayed is what guarantees the answer. Are you guys with me? Okay. There's something else we will look at. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. You all remember Hannah was a woman who was praying, and she was believing God to do something for her, to give her a child. You all remember that story? 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting from verse 12. And it came to pass as she, that is Hannah, continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Why? Was the priest trying to mark her mouth? Because she couldn't hear her. She was silent. So notice that this is an example of someone who is not loud in the prayer, but is quiet in the prayer. So when we gather, there are some who will shout, and there are some who will be quiet. Are you with me? I do not want those who are quiet to say those who are shouting don't know what they are doing. That's where I'm going with this. And I do not want those who are shouting also to tell those who are quiet that because they are not shouting, they don't know what they are doing. Just make sure when you are quiet, you are actually praying and not just standing there. And when you are shouting, let's just also make sure that it's not because you want to be seen, but it is for real. Are you with me? Look at verse 13. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long would thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have poured out what before the Lord?
Soul.
Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And in chapter 2, that scripture says, she got her petition answered. Amen. Okay, now let's go to Jesus himself. The very guy who said, no loud. Luke chapter 6, look at the 12th verse. Are you guys following me? We are trying to solve the issue of the soda machine. That I have been praying and have not seen the answer, so I stopped praying. No, you can't walk away from the machine. You must continue to stay at the machine, because there's a way the machine works. Tell the person sitting next to you, prayer works a certain way. Are you in Luke chapter 6? Look at the 12th verse. Please, if you can read from where you are, read with me. Go. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So did Jesus pray long? So why did he say that there shouldn't be long prayers? So you notice that if you go back in the context, his issue was not with the length of the prayer. His issue was with the fact that the people wanted to be seen. They wanted to do what, from my country, we call Joe Impress. They wanted to impress people. Prayer is not about impressing anybody. In fact, the only audience you have, notice I'm using the word audience, the only audience you have is God himself. That's not good English. Right? That you are performing for nobody but him. When we come to church and then let's dance, you are not dancing for somebody. You are dancing to his glory. We got to get some of these things straightened out. I'm not going to dance because people will look at me. It's not about people. And I wanted to be very intentional about it, that when I get on the floor and I begin to dance, it is not about who sees me. It is about the fact that I have a king that I want to glorify with my dance. If you understand it, nobody has to come and grab your hand and bring you here to dance. What is dancing? It's movement according to music. Whether it's offbeat or onbeat, it is still. Some people naturally are good by doing it with. They are on course with the beat. And some of us, we are offbeat. But either way, whether we shake it offbeat or onbeat, it is to God's. So Jesus prayed all night. Everybody say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Prayed. All night.
All night.
He prayed.
All night.
So quit asking why I have a prayer meeting in this church that starts at 8 p.m. and ends at 6 a.m. Because the master we are supposed to follow prayed all night. The problem is you are treating prayer as a soda machine. So when you put money in it and you shake it and nothing comes out, you want to walk away. Quick. It doesn't work that way. You need that much of time to move past your flesh. Because in worship, sometimes you lose consciousness of your problems so that you can move past your own flesh and connect with God. Are you guys with me? Okay, let's look at Jesus again. Hebrews chapter 5. Are you there? Ready? Read. Who in the days of his flesh? Pause. They're talking about Jesus here. All right? Okay, so let's start again. Go. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. The same Jesus that said the people who have long prayers and whatnot is doing pretty much the same thing. The only difference is that it is the condition of the hearts. Set our hearts on fire so that when the prayer meeting is long, when we stay in front of the soda machine for long, we are not worried because we know at the end of the day, the soda will come out. Are you understanding the journey we are on? The Bible says he prayed with strong cryings and what? Strong cryings and? Come on, talk to me. Strong cryings and? Can I address the men? The ladies are too emotional. What's wrong with these girls? This is Jesus here, Abby. He's not a girl, he's a guy. And the scripture says he prayed with what? Strong cryings and tears. Because when you understand prayer as something that creates a momentum, when you reach a level, it shows up. Your emotion gets involved in the thing. Are you guys with me? Let me tell you a story. I have a group of friends, pastors, and you know when they pray, anytime they say we should pray, one pray, then after that the other prays, and then after that, to me, if that's the way you want to pray, that's fine. But don't tell me to stop my prayer too. Because as soon as they say let's pray and they are doing one by one, I'm doing mine all through to the time they finish. And then they told me, brother, it's so distracting. And I said, to who? He said, to us. I said, then you are not praying. Because I'm focused on him. And once I get focused on him, I don't get distracted by anything. Until COVID hit and we had a prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, one of them was leading. He said, hey, let's all join together. And then they started praying. Everybody was yelling and screaming. I said, now that there is trouble, you have changed the way you pray. Before then, they told me, why are y'all Africans pray as if something is at stake? I said, what is not at stake? And that day when we finished the prayer meeting, they said, anybody has something to say? I said, you mean? I said, people, you remember those days you used to tell me I make too much noise? Today, what in the world were you guys doing? Now that you realize that your relatives are dying and things are at stake, all of a sudden that prayer is changed from, yeah, but you love me. And then, in the name of Jesus, I said, where did that attitude come from? It is the nature of the demon that is after you that is pushing the prayer. You are not new to this. I've told you this story before. What chases you determines how you pray. Luke chapter 18. I'll close very soon. We're going to pray. Luke chapter 18. This is a story that Jesus told about two people. One was a Pharisee. The other one was a tax collector. Luke 18 from verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Why is Jesus telling the parable? Because there are people who were, they trusted themselves. They have so much confidence in themselves. Which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. Then the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortionists, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican or tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking now. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.